Are there some downsides to conservative talk radio? Taking the conservative project as a whole, limited government, fiscal prudence, equality under law, personal liberty, patriotism, realism abroad, has talk radio helped or hurt? All those good things are plainly off the table for the next 4 years at least, a prospect that conservatives can only view with anguish. Did the Limbaughs, Hannitys, Savages, and Ingrams lead us to this sorry state of affairs? It's John Derbyshire writing this back in 2009. Did the Limbaughs, Hannitys, Savages, and Ingrams lead us to this sorry state of affairs? I was conversing with Derb at that time. He did not include me in the number. I don't know if that's because I remain an insignificant nothing, nobody, or maybe he didn't throw me in the number. Here's his answer. They most certainly did. At the very least, by yoking themselves to the clueless George W. Bush and his free-spending administration, they helped create the great debt bubble that has now burst so spectacularly. The big names, too, were all uncritical of the decade-long, at least, efforts to build democracy in no-account nations with politically primitive populations. Sean Hannity called the Iraq War a massive success. And in January 2008, deemed the U.S. economy phenomenal. Much of their blind loyalty discredited the right. Perhaps the worst effect of Limbaugh et al. Has been their draining away of political energy from what might have been a much more worthwhile project. The fostering of a middle-brow conservatism. Now, there's nothing wrong with lowbrow conservatism. It's energizing and fun. What's wrong is the impression fixed in the mind of too many Americans that conservatism is always lowbrow, an impression our enemies gleefully reinforce when the opportunity arises. Thus, a liberal like E.J. Dionne can write, the cause of Edmund Burke, Leo Strauss, Robert Nisbet, and William F. Buckley Jr. is now in the hands of Limbaugh and Hannity. Reason has been overwhelmed by propaganda, ideas by slogans. That's what Dionne wrote. Talk radio has contributed mightily to this development. Folks, this is why. This is the principal reason why I had to make a turn. And I urge all of you to make a turn. Don't play their game. It's easy to call names. It's easy to hurl a label at someone. Heck, it even happens inside Christian circles. You have Christians calling each other's names. You have Christians that think that they're holier than one. Well, I'm holier than that person because that person didn't do this. Again, that last line from the Litany of Humility. I'll read it to you again. It just go a long way towards any of these problems. That others might become more, here, blank than me, in so much as I become as blank as I can. Talk about a beautiful inspiration. You can live the rest of your life trying to achieve that and probably not get there. Trust me, I'm trying. Of course, Cardinal Mary Delval wrote it as that others may become more holy than me in so much as I become as holy as I can. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire. By the by, this is a magnificent book. Maggie O'Connell is trying to get this book. It's called Christian Warfare. It's put out by the Society of St. Pius X, and our listener friend Hay actually bought me this copy and sent it to me as a gift. I'm going to try to get it to sell in the Trading Post. So stand by for that. Anyways, back to John Derbyshire on the subject. It does so, talk radio, does so by routinely descending into the ad hominem. Feminazis instead of feminism. And catering, well, some of that, Dirk, come on, that's just rhetorical flourish. There's nothing wrong with that. And catering to reflex rather than thought. Where once conservatism had been about individualism, talk radio now rallies the mob. revolt against the masses, asked Jeffrey Hart. Limbaugh is the masses. In place of the permanent things, we get Happy Meal conservatism. Cheap, childish, familiar. I tell you what else you get. You get Viagra conservatism. How many times have you been listening to Limbaugh or Hannity or me when I was on the Patriot Channel until I complained and said, you guys got to take these ED drugs off the channel? I mean, conservatives might be a lot of frauds and fakes, but we can't be that in your face with our insincerity. I mean, really? By the way, Middish Church was instrumental in that. He said, I can't tell them that. She said, you better tell them that. Your reputation's on the line, Mike. In the place of the permanent things from conservative talk radio. And by look, this is not a we good, they bad. This is reality, and this is what we ought to do with said reality. I am reacting to dozens of you, maybe hundreds of you, who yesterday cried into your Muscle Milk shakes that you were consuming to wash down your Cialis and Viagra tablets. That if Debbie Schlussel was able to bring about the end of Sean Hannity, and that's not going to happen, Hannity would bring it about. But if that were to happen, and now that O'Reilly's gone, that if there was a conservative movement, it would have little or no effect on it. Because a conservative movement has had little or no effect, if not actually aiding and abetting the cause of Moloch. That's the problem. They've always been in bed with and have catered to and have enunciated and have promoted and promulgated the wrong ideas. And again, today, we know this as the ultimate truth. What's the ultimate truth? The ultimate truth is that God created all of us. God created all the things that we get to use that are so beneficial to man, that are so helpful, that are so beautiful, that are so tasty, that are all of these things. For what purpose? For man. Why? Because he loves us. And what do we do in return? Well, my God, I don't have time. Mitter, God, please, I don't have time to have another kid. I got to go take advantage of all the other stuff you blessed me with. But if this was, just think about this. If this was all put here for us, you and me, in this moment, that means, since it's not going to end unless he ends it, then it's all put here also for what? For who? Who comes after us? So what might our principal occupation be, fair listener? Is it to consume more talk radio and solve the budget deficit problem? Well, that's an admirable goal. It is to make more of that which Almighty God loves so, that he created this world, created souls, continues to create them, and after the fall, even sent his only begotten Son to go hang on a cross, to be persecuted, ridiculed, mocked, tortured, and then murdered by the same men he came to serve. I'd say that's a God that's filled with a lot more love than I am. But I don't want to digress here into, well, I don't have time. Mitter Church, please. My sister and brother don't have time to make God happy. God's happy enough. He's got the earth. Let him deal with it. We don't think permanent things anymore. And the few of us that do are considered to be weirdos and wackos. Back in the age of the faith, those men and those women would be considered to be saints. Not today, though. In place of the permanent things, we get Happy Meal conservatism, cheap, childish, and familiar. Gone are the internal tensions, the thought-provoking paradoxes, the ideological uneasiness that marked the early right. But however much this dumbing down has damaged the conservative brand, it appeals to millions of Americans. McDonald's profits rose 80% last year. You better believe it. There is a lowbrow liberalism, too, but the left hasn't learned how to market it. And then he gets more into what the libs do. If the liberals can't do populism, the converse is also true. Conservatives are not much good at gentility. Boy, howdy. We don't do effectless voices, it seems. There are genteel conservative events. I've been to about a million of them and have the no-dose pharmacy receipts to prove it, but they preach to the converted. This is another part of the problem, preaching to the converted. Preaching to those that already are with you. Preaching to the choir. Let's go back to Sunday's sermon from Father Watney, Mr. Critifer. When a father explained to us about the apostles in the 16th chapter of St. John's Gospel, cowering in fear of the Jews coming to find them in a room on the second floor of a building with the doors boarded shut, cowering in fear. And our Lord appears to them and goes, "What are you doing? Get out! You got to go out and tell them that you got to leave here, man. You can't stay in here." And of course, they didn't. So what do they have to go do? They didn't walk out into a world. They went, "Hey, Matthew! Oh, dude! Hey, Dolores! Look, it's Luke coming with Matthew. That's awesome, dude! Can I get an autograph? Can I get a high five?" Just silly. That's not the way it happened, obviously. Oh, but Minter Church, please, why don't you stick your neck out on the line? I try every day. Derbyshire was really on to something brilliant here. Of course, if you know Derby, he's an Englishman. I mean, some of this is like Chestertonian sarcasm. It's meant to be humorous. At the same time, he's making his point. If anything, these genteel events have reinforced the ghettoization of conservatism, of which talk radio's echo chamber is the major symptom. We don't know how to speak to that vast segment of the American middle class that lives sensibly, indeed conservatively, wishes to be thought generous and good, finds everyday politics boring, and has a horror of strong opinions. This untapped constituency might be receptive to interesting radio programs with a conservative slant. Even better than NPR as a listening experience is the BBC's Radio 4. And then he gets into some more of what he likes on that. You might object that the right didn't need talk radio to ruin it. It was quite capable of ruining itself. At sea for a uniting cause once the Soviet Union had fallen, buffaloed by master gamers in Congress, outfoxed by Bill Clinton, and then seduced by the vapid, compassionate conservatism of Karl Rove and George Bush, the post-Cold War right cheerfully dug its own grave. And there was some valiant resistance from conservative talk radio to Bush's crazier initiatives like comprehensive immigration reform and the Medicare prescription drug extravaganza, but there was not much confrontation with other deep social and economic problems. The unholy marriage of social engineering and high finance that ended with our present ruin was left largely unanalyzed from reluctance to slight a Republican administration. Plenty of people saw what was coming. There was Ron Paul, for example. Quote, "Our present course is not sustainable. Our spendthrift ways are going to come to an end one way or another. Politicians won't even mention the issue, much less face up to it." Close quote. Neither will the GOP pep squad of conservative talk radio. And Ron Paul, you know, has a cousin whose best friend's daughter was once a dog walker for a member of the John Birch Society. So much for him! Why engage an opponent when an epithet is easy reach? Some are crude rather than debating. Jimmy Carter's views on Mideast peace, Michael Savage dismisses him as a war criminal. Others are juvenile. The great one, Mark Levin. "You get out my phone, you big dope." Blast the Washington Compost and New York Slimes. But for all the bullying bluster of conservative talk shows, their essential attitude is one of apology and submission, the dreary old conservative cringe. Their underlying metaphysic is the same as the liberals. Infinite human potential. Yes, we can, if we only get society right. To the left, getting society right involves shoveling us around like truckloads of concrete. To the right, it means banging on about responsibility, God, and tax cuts while deficits balloon. Congress extrudes yet another social engineering fiasco, and our armies guard the fold the gap. That human beings have limitations, and that wise social policy ought to accept the fact some problems insoluble, some children left behind, is as unsayable on Hannity as it is on All Things Considered. And then Derby concludes, I enjoy these radio bloviators and their TV equivalents and hope they can survive the coming assault from left triumphalists. If conservatism is to have a future, though, it will need to listen to more than the looped tape of lowbrow talk radio. We can even tackle the matter of tone, bringing a sportsman's respect for his opponents to the debate. I repeat, there's nothing wrong with lowbrow conservatism. Ideas must be marketed, and right-wing talk radio captures a big and useful market segment. However, if there is no thoughtful, rigorous presentation of conservative ideas, then conservatism by default becomes the raucous parochialism of Limbaugh, Savage, Hannity et al. That loses us a market segment at least as useful, if perhaps not as big. Conservatives have never had and never should have a problem with elitism. Why have we allowed carny barkers to run away with the right?